Okay, so we are, thank you for translating. I want to talk about a topic that is, I think, an amazingly fascinating topic. It's a topic which is important on a couple of different levels. Number one, it relates to some very Yesodistic Torah in the world of Machshava, some of the more important questions in Machshava. In particular, we are going to be talking about what it means that Am Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar, what it means that we are a chosen people and a chosen nation, what it means that we are on some level separate, distinct, maybe elevated, to find that term well, from all the other nations, what that means. It gets to the core in many ways of what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael. It gets to the core in many ways of what it means to be here with a particular mission. That is one topic of massive importance. A second topic of massive importance in the world of Machshava is not just the topic of Am HaNivchar, but the topic of anti-Semitism. This is not a new topic. It's not merely a contemporary topic. It goes all the way back. It's the topic of Yaakov and Esav, as Chazal identify it as. It's a topic that comes in the world of, as we'll see in a little bit, from Maimon Har Sinai and forward. And we say it in the Haggadah, that Shebechol Dor Vador, you know, Om Demaleinu L'Chaloseinu. So Echa Bilvar Om Demaleinu L'Chaloseinu. Because Baruch Hu Matzleinu Miyadam, that there is this phenomenon of people that are coming out against us. And in that sense, there's something called anti-Semitism. And understanding a little bit of that phenomenon was a topic that there were a variety of Bali Machshava that spoke about. That when they lived in a world in which there was that kind of sinna, where there was that kind of anti-Semitism, they wanted to understand, where does that come from? What is the source of that? The world of Am HaNivchar, the world of anti-Semitism, those are both two major topics in the world of Machshava. It also has a lot of contemporary relevance, because on both levels, as Rav Huttner observed, you know, whatever decades ago, this topic of Am HaNivchar is a very fundamental one. That in a world in which so many of us have exposure to other nations, interact with other nations, observe, watch, study, in the context of, from other nations, so that the question of Am HaNivchar, of what makes Klal Yisrael unique and special, becomes so fundamental. And in a world in which there is anti-Semitism, as we'll quote in a little bit, that Rabbi Sachs, Zichron Levracha, Chief Rabbi Sachs pointed out, is a mutating virus. It's a virus which manifests itself differently in different generations. So we got to figure out what's going on in our generation. I want to try to do today to articulate a question, to offer a couple of suggestions in terms of what the answer to that question may be. And then next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll speak about what I believe is a particular mahalach of the Netziv in a bunch of contexts. But this is really setting up what's out there a little bit. And then next week, we'll begin to delve a little bit, Be'ez Hashem, there in the Torah of the Netziv. So let's begin as follows. We're going to take a little bit of time for us to do this. But I want to frame the question in a particular way, because I think if we ask the right question, as we know from some of the Kadmonim, She'elas Chacham Chatzi Tshuva, if we formulate a question well and intelligently, we will already have the possibility of getting a good answer. That's why in Ian sometimes we spend time formulating the question, breaking down assumptions. If we can ask the question well, understand it well, we can also get the answer as well. So we're going to try to formulate things in that kind of a way, and as Hashem, it'll be good and valuable. So let's unpackage a little bit. The Torah in Parshas Yisro, we are standing there at Maimon Har Sinai. We're standing there at Maimon Har Sinai. We're about to have it. The Torah tells B'chos HaShlishi, it's the third month. It is the month of Sivan when we get the Torah. We're there, B'midbar Sinai. We came from Rephidim. Moshe, Allah Elokim, Vayikrei Lav Hashem, in Ahar Lemor. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe, Min HaHar, from Har Sinai, B'nei Yisrael. There the following, Kosomar LeBeis Yaakov, V'sagla B'nei Yisrael. Here's a message for the women. Here's a message for the men. Here's what we have to tell them. Atem re'isim asher asis l'mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. You saw what took place. V'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim. I'm going to take you out from there. V'avo eschem v'avi eschem elai. I'm bringing you to me. V'ata, and now listen. Im shamoa tishme'u b'koli. If you listen to my words, ushmartim es brisi, and you observe, you honor my covenant, v'ayisim li sigula mikol ha'amim. You will be sigula. I don't know exactly what that word means. A treasure. You will be somehow elevated, somehow something unique about you from all the nations. And here's an odd end of that pasuk: Kili kol haaret, because I control all of the land. Seems like simple pshat, Hashem is saying, because I control everything, I have the right to choose you, and I choose you. V'yatem, and what is the charge for you? Tiyuli mamachas kohanim v'goy kadosh, you should be a nation of kohanim, a holy nation. Eilah hadvar mashar t'daber al b'nei Yisrael. This takes place, this powerful statement about b'nei Yisrael being the Am HaNivchar, this takes place right before Maimon Har Sinai, and we understand why. Because part of what we got when we received the Torah was that we got the Torah. The Torah was given to B'nai Yisrael. And therefore, Gemara's and Horio's Gemara's Sanhedrin, non-Jews have Isurim about even having access to that Torah. That Torah is a unique gift for Klal Yisrael. Okay, Shilas and Rambam and Meiri and Balei Tosfos, Shilas and Maritz Chi is another postgim about when exactly non-Jews can and can't learn. But there's something about Torah given over in a unique and distinct way, and that giving of Torah is part of what, it seems to be, establishes us as being Am HaNivchar. That part of what makes us this elevated nation is we got Torah. The two are linked. The two are linked. Whether it's because of Torah or the fact that we're elevated, we therefore got the Torah, that's a question really not for now as much. But there is something about our being Am HaNivchar and Matan Torah. The two go hand in hand. We get that. This idea of us being the Am HaNivchar, of us being an Am Segula, is reiterated in many different places throughout Tanakh. In Dvarim, in Perek Zion, we find it. Ki Am Kadosh Ata L'Hashem Elokecha, B'cha Bachar Hashem Elokecha, Liyoslo La'am Segula, Mikol Ha'amim Asher Al Pnei Ha'adama. We are separate and we are distinct. We are different. We were the ones that were chosen. Or in Dvarim, Perek Yedal, a very famous Tzukim. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. We are considered to be the children of Ribbono Shel Olam. There's mechayev certain dinim, los es godu, los asim karcha be'enechem l'meis. Why? Why are we banim? Why do we have this dinim? Ki am kadosh atem l'Hashem Elokecha. Uvicha b'char Hashem liyosu l'am segula b'kol ha'amim asher al pnei ha'adama. That's what we are. That's what we are. We are separate and we are distinct. In Dvarim Perek Chavav, it goes even further. It goes even further. Not just are we separated, Hashem Hamircha Hayom Liyosu La'am Segula, but Ulusitcha Elyon Al Kohagayim Asher Asar Lishila Ulshem Tiferes Ilcha Am Kadosh Hashem Kachash Adiver. That part of what we are, Kasher, we're somehow elevated above and beyond all the other nations. But the source of this, or the first time we really encounter this idea most powerfully, is right before Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the place where Am Yisrael becomes the Am HaNivchar. But something else happens at Matan Torah also. And here is a world-famous comment of the Medrash in Shemot Rabbah. It is a very, very famous comment. And anyone that talks about anti-Semitism from a Jewish perspective will often quote this Medrash. If you want to develop a bit of a range of approaches. The Medrash as follows, Har Sinai. What is the mountain upon which we got the Torah? We got the Torah on Har Sinai. So we got the Torah on Har Sinai, and at that time, so as we got the Torah, so it's during that particular kind of a tkufa, when we got that Torah, that we became separated as being the Am Segula. The Medrash says it's called Har Sinai. When it's called Har Sinai, why is the name of it considered to be Har Sinai? Why the name? So we know that from a literary perspective, when Chazal darshan things, often they darshan things based on the osios, often they darshan things based on the letters. The letters are a source of things, but often they darshan things not by letters, but also by sound. We know there's kri and ksiv, there's the way things are written, the way things are said, and the realm of the way that things are said, Chazal sometimes darshan not based, again, on the osios, but also on the sound. Why is it called Har Sinai? Shemisham Yarda Sina Leumos Ha'olam Alav. Har Sinai is also the place where Sina came down. Sinai and Sina. Now that's where it came down. Samech and Shin, but it sounds like the same and a level of sound. That Har Sinai became the source of anti-Semitism, became the source of Sina. And in that sense, there's an amazing phenomenon. At the same time that we are chosen to be the Am HaNivchar, at the same time where our status as Am Segula is highlighted by Matan Torah, is at the very, very moment that there also becomes Misham Yared Sina L'Umos HaOlam Alav, that there becomes a degree of anti-Semitism, there becomes a degree of hatred. Part of what I would love to explore is why that is so. Why is that so? What is it about Klal Yisrael being Am HaNivchar, if anything, which also caused, which also generated a degree of sinah? If anything, I could have read the Psukim, and I would have anticipated the opposite. I could have anticipated a reality where, depending on your vision and goal of Am HaNivchar, there would be an Am HaNivchar that would uplift the other nations. It would be an Am HaNivchar that would not be one that brought down, but would be one that would be mechazik. It would push up. And part of the question to explore a little bit is, why is that so? What is it about the world of Bnei Yisrael being chosen? At the same time that Bnei Yisrael are chosen, there also becomes something called sinah. There also becomes something called sinah. What exactly is going on? And I want to try to suggest a couple of different approaches. Next, as Hashem will speak about what I believe is a very powerful, powerful mahalach of the Netziv. But let's unpackage things. Let's unpackage things a little bit. In order to answer the question, how Am HaNivchar and anti-Semitism come at the exact same moment, that may require us to define a bit about anti-Semitism and to define a bit about Am HaNivchar. And if we can define those terms well, we may end up with a variety of answers which are intriguing. The first mahalach that we will suggest is a mahalach based on an understanding of the nature and basis of anti-Semitism. Where does it come from a Torah perspective? What is the basis of it? And here there are a variety of answers, but we're going to try to develop a particular approach, mixing one or two of the mahalach a little bit together to develop an idea. There is a world-famous ha'ara from one of the giants of pre-war Europe, Rav Menachem Zemba. Rav Menachem Zemba wrote, most famously, a sefer, Masechet Shabbos, called Totzaos Chaim, Anani Hotza, and other topics. It's a masterful sefer. Rav Menachem Zemba was one of the real giants. Menachem Zemba had an insight into anti-Semitism, which is very yadua, it is very well known. It's printed in his Chidushim, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful, or tragic Torah. He picks up on a medrash. The medrash says that Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Rashbi, understood, halo bi yadua, and at some gears, I think, halacha, that Esav is sone li Yaakov. There seems to be this phenomenon that Rashbi points out, that it's yadua, it's a halacha, that Esav hates Yaakov, that Esav hates Yaakov. It's a metzias as such. Menachem Zemba points out something intriguing. It seems like Rashbi is saying there is a metzias called Sinas Esav to Yaakov, and Rashbi doesn't tell us what is the basis or the reason of that sinna. What's surprising about that, points out Menachem Zemba, is of every Tana, it should have been Rashbi who told us why. But Rashbi is the person who is always Doresh Taima Dekra. Gemara's in Sanhedrin, Gemara's in Bav Metzia. Rashbi always gives us reasons for things. Rashbi holds that you can understand the reason, Shibra Yochai, the reason behind mitzvahs and averas, akadekach, that he's so confident you could paskin halachas based on that reasoning. And Rashbi holds in Sanhedrin and Ayindalit, Onshin min hadin, you can punish someone based on the Kavachomer, that he was confident enough, as some of the Mefarshim say, in his world of Svara, in discovering reasons behind things, that he could argue something was a Kavachomer, he wasn't nervous that he was going to be wrong, and he could punish someone as a result. Why here can't he describe it for us? Why here can't he give us the reason? Why here can't it be explained? So says Rav Menachem Zemba, I don't get it, it must be as follows. Bekanu Balomar, Rashbi says, in general, look for explanations, but not here. It is a deep mitzias called anti-Semitism, and it's one that we can't fully understand. Now, he's a little bit different here than the Medrash, because he's speaking about a different Medrash, about Yaakov and Esav. But it gives us a minimum, an entranceway into a perspective in anti-Semitism. It's not talking, obviously, about all of the non-Jews, but there is a metzias out there where anti-Semitism is not a phenomenon which you can explain. It is not a phenomenon which you can find reasons for. It is a metzias, she'im botam, at least I'll pee the world of rational thought. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, in Vayikra Chavav, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh points out something fascinating based on the Diyuk and Psukim. The Torah tells us if Bnei Yisrael is good, if we keep mitzvot, if we do a good job, then Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz, that there will be peace in this land. We're going to have peace. If we do things well, we're going to have peace. Part of that peace is the next pasuk. Urdaftem es oyveichem. You'll be chasing after your enemies. You'll be chasing after your enemies. Ask the Or HaChaim a simple question. If we're going to have peace, and therefore we can be very confident, so why do we have enemies? Isn't the definition of peace meaning we're not going to have oyvim? Says the Or HaChaim, you're going to have peace, and you'll chase after your enemies. We shouldn't have enemies. There's peace. What's the pshat? Says the Or HaChaim the following idea. You're going to have peace. You're going to have peace. Peace means that you can live in a tranquil place. It means that you can be in Eretz Yisrael and you can be safe and you can be secure. It means all of that could happen and you're going to be okay. But you know why they're called still oyvim? Because gam letzad sheyodei Hashem ki kol ha'umos. Again, he says in a more sweeping way than certainly I think Rambam would and some others. But the nations are sone Yisrael b'teva. There's a certain kind of natural hatred. He connects it to a certain jealousy, but he's sina yisodis. It's fundamental for ein latmura. It's not going to go away. There's a metzias called anti-Semitism, and that is a metzias which is deep, which is deep. What's fascinating about this, this has massive contemporary implications. In discussions about if only Klal Yisrael would do this, there wouldn't be anti-Semitism. If only Klal Yisrael would do this, if the state of Israel would do Y, there wouldn't be anti-Semitism. So these Torahs often get quoted. Don't be so naive, halacha, that there is a hatred which is there at all times. Okay. Rabbi Sachs even went a little bit of a step further in what is, I think, one of his most famous Torahs, which is hard to say because the man had a lot of very well-known insights, if you're holding, but the mutating virus, understanding anti-Semitism, this he spoke in Europe about very, very often, about the nature of anti-Semitism, where Rabbi Sachs, the more famous part is how he speaks in such eloquent, it's Klal Yisrael misses him and Sachs there who's filling that void, that there is our capacity to articulate so beautifully particular ideas. The more famous part has to do with his description of how anti-Semitism can mutate in different eras and how in our era it manifests itself as anti-Israel, and it's the capacity to be able to say at times, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm only anti-Israel, that the virus has mutated. The variant that we're currently dealing with is one that can be totally, totally, not all anti-Israel is anti-Semitic, but some of it is, and that you can be totally, totally anti-Semitic, and now you don't have to call yourself anti-Semitic. Like Hitler called himself anti-Semitic. This is not even that. This is that it mutates. But Rabbi Sachs suggests that part of the sinah, and here's what's important to understand, has nothing to do with Klal Yisrael. It's fundamental to the people who are hating, because the people who are hating, it has to do with an inability on their end to accept responsibility. And when something bad goes wrong in this world, it must be the Jews' fault. External locus of control. It must be on them, because I can't own it. If I don't have a job, if there's a bad economy, it's their fault. It's their fault not. There's no capacity to accept responsibility. But even without that, there's something fundamental which is present. Why is that so, and why would that come along the lines with Maimon Har Sinai? What's the connection between those things? So here we have a Torah. It's an amazing piece written by Rav Yerucham, the Mir Mashkiach. The topic is called Sod Sinas HaUmos LiYisrael. Why is it that there is a sinah which takes place at times between some of the nations, those who are, and some, again, the world of anti-Semites, and Klal Yisrael. Where does that come from and why is it there? So he suggests the following, and again, there is not a rational explanation. It's the way that the Bria was created. It's the way the Bria was created. Quote of Yerucham, the Pasuk in Kohelas, many of us know, Zelu umas ze asa Elokim. That God created the world, there is always a parallel in this world. The way the world is created, when the Ribbono Shel Olam creates the world, he creates Or and he creates Choshech. There is day and there is night. And the way the world is created is with a degree of balance. That there is in this Metzias, in this world in which we live, there is on the one hand good, and there is on the other hand, bad. It can't be that there is good. Part of what makes good good is the contrast to bad. What makes bad is the contrast to the contrast. Those two things always go hand in hand. It's part of the Bria of Klal Yisrael. Part of the Bria, of the world, of Zelu Umazeh Asa Elokim. That's what it is. That's why Rabbi Yerucham explains. On the one hand, the Gemara in Sukkah implies there's this idea called Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Every generation has to have major tzadikim. But it's also true that in every generation, same way that there are hidden tzadikim, that there are certain tzadikim that are so big and they sustain the world, that there are certain Rishayim
who distinguish themselves and their anti-Semitism, that they seem to be these massive, massive anti-Semites, because there has to be this parallel. It's the way the world is created. It's a sod hadavar. It's a metzias. We don't know you understand why. That's the way in which the world was created. What happens at Maimon Har Sinai? So what happens at Maimon Har Sinai points out when we are mekabel Torah. So what happens is when we're mekabel Torah, we become elevated. We become elevated. The more zelu umazeh asa elokim, it's a high voltage metzias. If it's very low, so there's a little bit of growth and a little bit of risk. If it's a high growth, high risk. Those two things often go hand in hand. When Klal Yisrael is mekabel Torah, b'shtarish b'kerev haKlal Yisrael kol sod hatov, when Klal Yisrael gets elevated at Maimon Har Sinai, at that very moment, misham yarad sina le'umos ha'olam. At that very moment, things begin to fall apart a little bit. At that very moment, there's more sinna for the anti-Semites, because those two things have to have a parallel in this world. In that sense, the first mahalas that we're developing, why is it that Maimon Har Sinai becomes, at the same time, when we become Am HaNivchar, and when we also becomes anti-Semitism, it's because of a metzias, of Zelu Umazeh Asa Elokim. Because if you understand anti-Semitism, when there is good in this world, there is bad as a parallel. The more good that there is, the more negativity that there is. The more negativity that there is in this world. It's a beautiful mimer of the Alter Rebbe. We'll talk about maybe a different time of this metzias a little bit, of the world. The more that even good, the world's created in a mixture. And the more that good jumps out, the more that the bad also distinguishes itself at the same time. The world's created with an Or V'Choshech at times, Berbuvia. There's a mixture that takes place. The more one goes up, the more the other comes down. But that is at least one mahalach, understanding anti-Semitism. Parentheses. If you wanted to have a second mahalach like this, look at the Or Chaim, it sounds like part of it stems from jealousy. Part of it stems from jealousy. And when Klal Yisrael get a great gift, others are jealous, and maybe that's part of it on some level also, maybe. I wonder, though, if there is a second mahalach. A second mahalach, which is based not on our understanding of anti-Semitism, but in an ability to identify and define well, what does it mean that Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar? What does it mean that we are an Am Segula? And perhaps if we understand more about what it means that we are the Am Segula, the more we could understand why from that point, from that place was Yored, a particular form of Sinna, a particular form of hatred to Klal Yisrael. What exactly happened at that point in time? So I want to learn for a little bit with you a comment of the Kuzari. Years ago, when we learned the Sefer Kuzari, we elaborated on this in other contexts, also in other kinds of places. But the Kuzari has a theory, and that's as follows. Many of us know that of all of the Rishonim, when you speak about what it means to be Am HaNivchar, so Rabbi Yehuda Halevi had a particularly strong, controversial in certain circles, not politically correct, and maybe all circles. Yehuda Levi had a particular kind of a take on what it means. Many of us may know that there appear to be debates amongst Rishonim about the precise gap between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. The Rambam at times seems to downplay elements of that gap. The Rambam seems to think that Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam have different values, and those that are Mekabel Torah can be elevated, but you wouldn't call like a metaphysical chiluk between Jews and non-Jews the same way, at least in the way that many understand Shitas HaRambam. The Kuzari, as many of us know, understood that the same way that there are different madregas in the creations of the world, there's something called a domain. There is a rock that sits and does nothing. There's a level up of a metzias called a tzomeach, called the tzomeach, which can grow, which grows, but does not, it's alive in the sense that it grows, but not more than that. We then go up a level, we start talking about animals. Animals are more developed than that which is tzomeach, and you go a level up, the fourth level of creation, which is not just a chai, we're talking about people. People are the highest level of creation. For the Kuzari, there is a fifth level. Not only are there something called people above animals, but there's also something called a Jew over a non-Jew. There's people and there are Jews. And the Kuzari understands that Klal Yisrael is elevated b'metzias, So years ago, we spoke about at length the implications for these ideas in the world of Geirus, in the world of conversion, that it impacts a lot how you relate to
the process of conversion, depending on what the gap is between non-Jews and Jews, requires you to elevate or shift or do different things. That's not for now that conversation. Sugya is Maseches Bikurim, machlokes between the Rambam and some other Rishonim, a lot of very, very important Torah about that. But there's this massive gap which takes place. When is this gap really become solidified? When is it so that there becomes something that Klal Yisrael becomes elevated and the Am Segula and the other nations not? So writes the Kuzari, that time period was Maimon Har Sinai. That until Maimon Har Sinai, there was this special idea called Segula, and there were certain individuals that were able to get this Inyan Eloki and some that weren't. There were some that were able to be uplifted and elevated, and some got it. So Avram got the Segula, you know, and Aver has the Segula, and it comes from Shem, and Shem gets it from Noah, and there are individuals who get it. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Ubnei Yaakov are Kulam Segula, Kulam Ru'uyim, Inyan Eloki. They all have something which is there. But at that point in time, it could still be lost. Meaning, Avraham could have a certain Inyan Eloki. Avraham could be at a higher level. But Lav Dafka, all of his kids. It wasn't get solidified as part of the DNA. It could get lost, says Yehuda Levi. But Yaakov already becomes, and it becomes more clear. The time when it becomes most intense, the time when it becomes most focused, that time period is that Maimon Har Sinai. And a Maimon Har Sinai for the Kuzari is when everything shifts. And Maimon Har Sinai at that period of time is when Am Segula is firmly locked in. Again, but Yaakov and his children already becomes like that. But Maimon Har Sinai is the time when it becomes so locked in that Aki Dekach, Rabbi Levi maintains, and there are a lot of kashas on this, that the idea of Nevuah, it's not shayach by non-Jews to have Nevuah. And therefore, Mepharshim asking Rabbi Levi, well, what about Bilam? And what about, again, different... It seems in Chazal sometimes that there are other non-Jews. And for Yehuda Levi a little bit, that's because it's a mitzvah that Klal Yisrael has an Inyan Eloki which nobody else has. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda Levi, discussions about, you know, if Yehuda Levi, is there like a racism there? Not anti-black. Is there a racism there as far as like non-Jews? But there is this idea out there in the world of Machshava. We're going to develop a different idea in a second. But the Maharal speaks about, if you live in a world of Yehuda Levi, so what's the goal of non-Jews? Part of this idea of Am Yisrael being that other level of existence, so that means that those a level below, so their contributions to the world are also minimized. They're no longer the focal point. If you read enough Maharal, then you talk about, you know, what's this idea of a non-Jew? I mean, you know, if you really are believing the importance of Torah, so there's a Yisrael that keeps Torah. But what about everybody else? Why are they all created? What goal and function is there? Rambam has, you know, one answer, but for the Maharal, it's in many ways, it's a secondary purpose and a secondary goal. So there's a certain perspective there that what happens at Maimon Har Sinai is that some are in and some get downgraded. Some are in and some get down, and that can be very, very challenging. And for some, they think it's also pshat and Har Sinai, Misham Yaretzin Eli Yisrael. Again, the first idea, it's more of just a mitzis of the world, of no definition. Zeh u'maseh asa Elokim. And this, it becomes, again, like that Orchaim, a little bit more of a kina and a little bit more of a shift in role and responsibility, which could become a little bit more challenging. There is another idea about Am HaNifchar, which I think is very important and can give us a little bit of insight also. Rav Hirsch understood the idea of Am HaNifchar very differently. In a lot of different places, in the Sepharis and Chumash, there in Parshas Vayisro, in Shmos Yates, in Vayikra, in Perek Chaf, in Parshas Kedoshim, Rav Hirsch understands that what it means that Klal Yisrael is the Am Segula, and here it becomes, in many ways, the most tricky question. That Rav Hirsch understands that what happens with the Am Segula is as follows. What does it mean that we're the Am HaNifchar? And many of us have heard this idea. Am HaNifchar does not mean that you are better. It means that you are different and that you are charged with a certain kind of responsibility that others are not. Rav Hirsch, in a very intelligent read, understands as follows. What does it say in the Parshas Yisro when articulating the idea of us being the Am HaNifchar? It says, you are ve'yisni segula mikol ha'amim, kili kol ha'aretz. What's the shaychas of kili kol ha'aretz, and that's why you're the am segula? Says Rav Hirsch as follows. The goal of being am segula, the reason why I need you to be am segula, is because kili kol ha'aretz. Is because we have a lot of nations in this world. We have a lot of people in this world. We have a lot of, there are so many out there. And we need Klal Yisrael to be successful. We need Klal Yisrael to step up. We need Klal Yisrael to be able to project particular missions. We need Klal Yisrael to be able to impact. I'll read Rav Hirsch. I'm reading it in English. I don't mind reading Rav Hirsch in English because he wrote in German. So if I'm reading a translation, I don't know why there's per se a Torah lesson in the Hebrew over the English. English works for me. And that's a copy of Rav Hirsch that I have at home is an English copy of Rav Hirsch. First as follows. So that in no way does Jewish thought look on the choice of Israel. Choosing Am Yisrael was not a rejection of the rest of humanity. It regards the choice of Israel only a beginning, only the restarting of the spiritual and moral rebuilding of mankind, only the first step to that future. The goal eventually, as Navi tells us, Kimala Aras Deyes Hashem, the goal is that the whole world should come around, the whole world should be able to appreciate Ribono Sha'olam, and that many nations will attach themselves to Ribono Sha'olam. But that has to happen through Klal Yisrael. That only when Klal Yisrael is really doing their job can the other nations really, is about picking them up. For Rav Hirsch, the question is strongest. No? For Rav Hirsch, the question is strongest. Because if the goal of Am HaNivchar was that we're supposed to teach and we're supposed to uplift the other nations, so how could it be that from that same place comes Sina? How could it be that from that same place comes hatred? The goal of Am HaNivchar was us to uplift. The goal of Am HaNivchar was us to uplift. And how could it be that if that is our goal, so how could it be that it seems to not be working at all? It seems to not be working at all. It doesn't seem to be playing itself out the way that we would like. The other nations don't seem to be there. They don't seem to be perceiving it that way. They don't seem to be having it. From that place comes sin. But why? Isn't our goal to be modeling a certain kind of morality and ethics? Isn't our goal to be able to do so? So how could it be that Misham Yarad Sinan Yisrael? Misham Yarad Kavod Yisrael? Because they see and we've uplifted and we've changed the world as a result. Another one of Rabbi Sachs is, famous, he had this unbelievable 90-second bits, all about Jewish Nobel Prize winners and the way that Jews impacted the world. We've done things. So why Misham Yarad Sinan Yisrael? So I want to try to make a suggestion in the most delicate way possible. We live in a metzias where correctly so, and our antennas are always up for anything that even has shmecks of victim blaming. We don't blame victims. You have some indications, there are some Amari Chazal that become challenging in light of this, that Yaakov puts Dina in a box, and that's why, we spoke about this years ago, in the context of the Me Too movement, how you relate to Dina, how that phenomenon plays out and the way different mefarshim relate to it on some level. Nothing that we are saying is arguing with what we spoke about earlier. There may be a mitzias of zelu umaze asa elokim. That's a mitzias which is there, and there may be a jealousy or a frustration as a result. As Rabbi Sachs pointed out, and this maybe perhaps is part of the answer, that antisemitism has nothing to do with us. One answer: maybe we're doing a great job. But maybe so long as people aren't able to own any sense of responsibility, they're always going to look to blame. So they look to blame. They look to blame Klal Yisrael because they're not ready themselves. They're not kalim to mekabel that message. That ultimately the teacher can teach, but if the student isn't ready to learn, nothing's going to happen. You can walk in that room. It's like that old, who wrote the song? Journeys? Rebbe, Ninth Man? That's a Journey song? So one of the, so we spoke about it yesterday, some of the best insights out there in the world. That mice, I'm sure you heard this song growing up. I know that I did. I hope you did. The kids in school that go through their rebbeim all the time, and the kids that don't listen bichlal, and a rebbe comes in, and the rebbe's teaching, and no one's listening at all, and it's crazy until finally one day they have the big softball game, big baseball game, softball mstama, that's what former people play. That's the misora. They're playing there's a softball game. And the kid gets hurt. Apparently the class was a small class, it seems, a little bit of a small class size. And they need the Rebbe. He steps up. He's the ninth man. He'll go be the ninth man on the team. If you're me, you even get emotional during the song a little bit. I don't know why, and it's very embarrassing. But he comes up and he hits it. Fine. There's a lot of Torah in this. He then comes the next day, and the kids listen. They listen to Shir. And they say, wow, this is interesting. This is unbelievable. Okay, so they still follow the mats as we hold in the end. Maybe it's a board about spiritual development and being a Met fan. I'm not sure. But they like Rashi and Tosfos, and they get into these things a little bit. There's a couple chash of things about that Maisa. First of all, the kids that were big enough to be able to have a bit of Hakar Satov, the kids that were big enough to come in the next day and not say, thanks, Rabbi, and then to go back and doing their thing, but to give them the kavod to listen. What a Maisa about, I mean, it didn't happen. I'm saying, but what a story about, I mean, I think versions of that have happened in different ways. On the, you know, Rebbe on the ball court, kids therefore listening more and cheer. I believe that phenomenon happens, but I'm not sure that in this exact mice it doesn't happen. And what an amazing point. Anyone think that the Rebbe in that story taught Torah differently before and after they were? It was the same thing he was teaching, but they weren't yet kelim. They were ruyim lekabel. They weren't yet people that were fully ready to internalize that message. And that there was something there. There was something there that maybe they weren't fully present yet to be able to do it. For Hirsch, maybe at that point when we got that mission, so when someone's preaching something and somebody's modeling something and you aren't ready, you're not able to be there, you get so upset. The mushel I would give, is that sometimes you have a guy in yeshiva, and he's a good guy. He really is a good guy, and he learns well, and he davens well. And people, you know... And like another guy that's struggling a little bit. I have a harder time in the morning. I have a harder time this. I have a harder time that. And I look around a little bit, and he bothers me. It bothers me what he's doing. I want to call him out and say he's being judgmental, but I'll let you know a secret. He's actually not. Maybe he's just sitting there, and he's just learning all the time. But every time I see him, I see someone that's risen up and is excellent, and I'm not ready to be there yet. So there's a natural sort of like revulsion I can't handle, you know, because he just... And maybe in a certain sense, that's part of what's going on. We didn't share the Mahalach yet, which puts any of the onus on Klal Yisrael. I want to speak about that next week a little bit as part of the Netziv, as far as Klal Yisrael's role, as far as being the Am HaNivchar, and what not causes anti-Semitism, but sometimes doesn't solve the problem of anti-Semitism, if there's a way of formulating it that way. And we'll do it very, very delicately and very, very appropriately. But let's chazer what we spoke about, at least today, and we'll wrap things up. Klal Yisrael is the Am Segula that gets solidified at Maamad Har Sinai. At the same time of Maamad Har Sinai, Misham Yeretz and Eli Yisrael. What's the relationship between those two things? Stop. What's the relationship between the two things? The first Mahalach, Tzelu Umazeh Asalokim, Rav Yerucham, the Mir Mashkiach. It's a Mitzias that the more good there is, the more bad there is. The world is created. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to create a world not of Kulo Tov. If he wanted a world of Kulo Tov, he created it without Bechir Chavshes. There are always options. There's always a parallelism that exists in this world. When we got Maamad Har Sinai, we got elevated. Misham Yeretz and Eli Yisrael. From that point in time, that caused a shift, and suddenly the anti-Semites, it was more intense. It was so much worse. I can't explain why. It's the mitzias of the world. Again, we're mixing some mahalachim there. The second mahalach is in a Kuzari idea. If you're really chosen, you're really elevated, and that downgrades the significance of others. So that comes with a certain sinner sometimes in a natural sense. But the third is focusing on a different perspective in Am HaNivchar, which is the Rav Hirsch idea. It's one that's very popular nowadays, I think for very good reason, and resonates with a lot, which is the idea of having a mission. That if I'm going to be out there in the world, it's not that I'm better than you, but I have a mission to try to live a life by certain standards. How is it Mi Yaretz and Eli Yisrael? So one mahalach we were suggesting, one mahalach for now, which is what Rabbi Sachs had in a certain sense, was because if they're not ready, then they're not ready. And if you have, and an anti-Semite is a person that doesn't want to look, that if Klal Yisrael, I'm not saying Klal Yisrael is perfect, that we'll speak about next week. But if Klal Yisrael isn't, even if Klal Yisrael does something good, they'll find the place. Or if Klal Yisrael is not even shayach, the conspiracy theories will start, even though we do absolutely, you know, nothing. If we bring a new pill to solve, you know, a pandemic, so it's because of a conspiracy that we started in order to make more money. You know, if a Jew is the CEO of Pfizer, if a Jew is the CEO of Pfizer, so it becomes not, wow, look at that person who's able to bring health, who's able to bring, but it becomes something else also. They're not created in Makabal. The message can be there, but they're not willing to accept it. And part of what to do is to try to create a mitzvah where people can be killed in Makabal. Either way, it's a wonderful schuss to be part of Klal Yisrael, the Am Segula. So sometimes the amsegula comes with others maybe not treating us the way that we would like. We always want to be as much as we can on the side of good and the side of tov to strengthen that midah. And next week we'll understand a very unique and powerful perspective of Netziv. Have a great rest of your day.